Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of This Woman Can. I am your host, Women's Leadership Development Expert, Janice Sutherland. Now, for this episode, I am in conversation with Adana Austin, a business coach and marketing consultant from Trinidad and Tobago, and the owner and founder of Marketing Dynamics Business Solutions. She works with entrepreneurs to develop a winning mindset. You know, I'm all about mindsets here, to run their business, develop smart goals, identify their ideal clients, and develop strategies to generate revenue to grow their business. Maybe I need to talk to her a little bit more. She's also an avid writer and blogger who has a weekly blog that shares valuable information about business for entrepreneurs. So Adana, welcome to This Woman Can.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And you know, as ever, you've listened to the show, the first question I always go ask every woman who gets into my hot seat is, tell us about your journey and how you got to where you are today.
Okay, so I actually come from a long line of entrepreneurs.
Okay.
I have a lot of members of my family who are entrepreneurs. So being an entrepreneur was not a, it was a no-brainer.
Right.
The question was just when, because I've always worked for other people and work in corporate jobs and stuff. Yeah. So it really just was a matter of when. My business was officially registered in 2011.
Right.
But I did not go full time until the beginning of 2016. And I was literally forced into going full time.
Right.
Because I was having like anxieties and panic attack. I was having a lot of mental challenges at the time, and physical challenges as well. And I think that just, you know, I just said to myself, I need to take better care of myself. And instead of juggling many things, let me just focus on the thing that I love the most, which is helping entrepreneurs and serving entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
So I made that decision to leave my good corporate job to jump into the scary thing of entrepreneurship full time. So since 2016 to now, I've just been serving many entrepreneurs from all over the world, not just in Trinidad and Tobago, thankfully, in different avenues of business, their marketing, their sales, as you said, through my weekly blog and my podcast as well.
Okay.
And I also have a Facebook group of over 4,000 entrepreneurs.
Fabulous.
From different parts of the world. And the group is very, very active. We don't necessarily advertise, but we have really lively discussions about the challenges of entrepreneurship and how we can support each other and stuff. And it's called Dynamic Business Strategies.
Fabulous, fabulous.
So now that's been my journey.
Now, you told me so much there. So a couple of things I want to focus on. Mm-hmm. You talked about feeling the anxiety and the stress and stuff like that. And having made that journey my own self from corporate to entrepreneurship, what I found was that my body was telling me it was time for that change.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. 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 That's exactly it. Because in 2015, I had some challenges. I had some people close to me that passed away.
Right.
And I was experiencing a lot of body pains and stuff. And I spent thousands and thousands of dollars going to the doctor. And everyone was like, we cannot see anything physically wrong with you. I mean, at the end of the day, I still had to end up doing an emergency surgery, but that was besides the point.
Yeah, yeah.
And I actually went to one specialist, and she's the one who said to me, Adana, you are depressed and you need to change what you are doing. And that's when I started to think, you know, I need to make some hard decisions because my body is telling me.
Yeah.
That this is not the way you're supposed to go. So you have to listen to your body.
So thanks for sharing that with us. And my second question, you registered the business in 2011, but you didn't start till 2016. That's a big gap, 5-year gap.
Well, what really happened is I registered in 2011 and I was providing marketing and PR services to a medium size business. So it wasn't that I wasn't doing anything. I was providing services to businesses, right? As much as I can, because I was working my full-time corporate job. Yeah. I was actually also teaching at the university at the same time.
Right.
So I was doing that. But what the transition that I made in 2015 into 2016 was actually becoming a coach.
Right.
And I made that transition based on conversations I was having with my clients at the time. I recognized that they needed a different type of support. Some of them wanted a different type of support, and I didn't know what that was.
Okay.
And I did a research, and that's how I came across coaching in 2015.
Right.
And I went and I studied, and I got myself a coach as well to see what the experience was going to be like. And then at the end of 2015 into 2016, I myself started to offer coaching as one of my services. So coaching came on at 2015 into 2016, but from 2011 to 2015, and even now I still have corporate clients.
Right.
That I provide mainly just marketing and PR for, because before 2011, I was doing it, but all for free.
Right. Yes.
Which is where most of us start off, right?
Yeah.
I was doing it for free. So I was like, no, I need to register and make this official.
Fabulous. So, Adana, describe to me one of your biggest challenges and how you overcame it and the lessons you learned from that.
I think my biggest challenge was actually when I did start to get coaching, my mindset. I did not recognize that there had to be such a huge shift.
Yes.
From working for somebody and working for yourself.
Absolutely.
That was like, I think up to today, one of my biggest challenges, just doing that mindset work and consistently doing the work as well. To recognize that I have to depend on me, I have to be my biggest cheerleader, you know what I mean? And my first coach, he really spent a considerable amount of time with me working through that, you know, eliminating the negative self-talk that just comes so naturally to us.
Absolutely.
Right? So we spent a considerable, I would say maybe 2 months, really, really fine-tuning that mindset. And it's something that I work on consistently every day, because as I said, I still struggle with a little anxiety and slight depression and stuff. So it's something that I have consistently worked on every single day using my affirmations and journaling and, you know, meditation and stuff to keep me on track, because we're human. And sometimes you don't have control of certain things and they affect you emotionally. So I think to date, that was my biggest challenge. And I continuously work on that.
Right. So it's always a work in progress for you.
It's always, yes. Always one step higher you can go, right?
Excellent. So I'm a big believer that, you know, you don't succeed without failure. I am a huge believer in that. So can you share this, Adana, where failure has made a positive difference in your life?
Definitely. I would say even as a coach and starting off, you know, you have certain expectations or certain hopes and dreams. And I have had early on where I would put out a program or put out, you know, advertise a workshop or something like that, and nobody would buy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? After you put out all this work. And obviously, you know, you feel a little devastated, crushed. Like, why is this happening? But I had to learn that I needed to listen more and not just create for creating's sake, but create to really support what my entrepreneurs needed at the time. Because, you know, there's always this, and I find it with a lot of new coaches, there's this mad rush to let me just create something.
I mean, the creation aspect, though, what I find when I speak with my colleagues, not just with my clients, not just on Create for Coaches, but it's a form of procrastination.
Yes.
Because it stops us from really doing what we really need to be doing.
Doing the deep work.
Yeah, yes. You know, yes. So it's a little bit of denial. It's a little bit, do I really want to put myself out there? And it's all these things we're telling ourselves. And not just as being an entrepreneur, but also at work, because quite often the women I speak to about their careers and their leadership journeys, they're like, well, I'm not ready to take the next step. You know, I'm like, well, how do you mean not ready to take the next step? You know, how many more qualifications do you need? What more proof do you want? You know, what are you looking for to take that next step? So, yeah, I find that creation is often that little, you know, procrastinator on your shoulder.
It is definitely. Definitely. Yeah. So that was, I mean, that was a huge thing for me to learn because I fell flat.
Yeah.
And I had to not just fell flat, but I had to make the conscious decision to continue going.
Right.
You know, and not let that derail me from being a good coach.
Yeah.
So it taught me that I needed to stop sometimes and listen.
You know,
pay attention to what my audience actually wants so that I can create programs and workshops for them and not for me.
Yes. Yes. It's know your customer.
Yes. Yes. So that was a huge, huge thing for me at the beginning.
So I just want to take a little bit of sidestep. Something just came to me. So you have pivoted from corporate to entrepreneurship. What has been the biggest challenge that you found in making that pivot?
Besides my mindset,
yeah.
I think like one of the biggest things as well was time management.
Right.
In corporate you have a boss. You have a time.
Yeah.
Yes. You have deadlines set for you. So besides my mindset was just, you know, creating those time blocks and understanding, okay, you have to answer to you. So you have to get things done at a particular time in order for your business to move forward.
Right.
Right. And the other thing was creating boundaries. That was a huge one because where I worked in corporate, unfortunately, we didn't really have boundaries. I literally was on call Sunday to Sunday.
Yeah.
Right. So people just had access to me all the time. And I recognized that in coaching, I couldn't do that because it led to a lot of burnout.
Yeah.
Really quickly. So I had to very early on set up boundaries for myself,
right.
For my own mental health for my clients as well.
Yeah. And I love the fact you talked about boundaries because boundaries play a part in many aspects. So you created boundaries with your clients, which I understand. But where else have you created boundaries to help you succeed in your business?
Oh, well, I created boundaries with my family.
Yeah.
As well, because, you know, a lot of them who are not entrepreneurs feel, well, you're working from home now, so you're always available.
Yes. Yeah.
To do everything. You're always available to be on the phone. You're always available, you know. So I had to, that was a hard one because they would never custom get hearing no from me.
Yeah.
So I had to create those boundaries and let them know, listen, I am working between these hours and between these hours, I can't just get on the phone and talk. I can't just come down the road,
right,
you know?
Right, yes.
So I had to create really heavy boundaries with my family. Thank God nobody was offended. my family was huge. And then with myself, meaning I had to give myself permission to rest.
Right, yes.
Because we are taught, you know, you have to work Sunday to Sunday and kind of thing. So I set up a system where I work a particular amount of hours every day and I intentionally take days off. And those days off is not to come on the computer, not to answer clients, just creating those boundaries for myself.
Yeah, I love
as
that.
Well.
I love that. I call that my I Choose Day.
Yes.
Because that's the day I choose what I'm going to do. Now, don't get me wrong, sometimes I may choose to do a little bit of work, but it's my choice. It's my choice. So I call that my I Choose Day. And it could be any day of the week, you know, because we know sometimes also work for yourself and in corporate, to be honest, sometimes the overlap, there are no demarcations.
Yes.
Especially now we're working from home. A lot more people are working from home. The demarcation between work and home life is a little blurry. So we have to, like you say, get very
flexible.
Be flexible, but also be very stringent when it comes to creating our boundaries. So I totally get you there.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you. So Adonna, if you had to start from scratch, knowing where you are now, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently?
I would definitely do more market research.
Okay.
A lot more market research. And I made a mistake that a lot of people did, right? Just jumped into business without doing research, not just about my clients, but just about my industry, you know, getting educated a little more about what is required and tools and that kind of thing. I mean, because I didn't spend time doing that, I had a lot of ups and downs, and I think a lot of that could have been avoided. if I did the market research that was necessary, I would have, the line would have been a little straighter and I would have hit a lot of my targets sooner.
Right. Right.
If I had done that research. So that's something I literally pound into my client's head as well. Let's do the research, because we don't want to waste time and money and resources.
Yes.
Jumping into stuff and then it's not going to, you know, it's not going to pan out. So that market research, I really, really wish I did a lot more.
And as much as we're talking about market research from an entrepreneurial side, that actually boils out for if you're in the corporate world as well, if you're going to work for the organization, research the organization, research the role. What are the salary boundaries? What is it like to work for those people if you can find out? There's so much more available for us now online to enable us to make those decisions. So research, whether you're an entrepreneur in the corporate world or you're going to work for somebody else, is incredibly important. So I really like that.
Yeah, and the other thing is that I wish that I learned to say no much faster. again, because you just want to, you want every job, you want to serve everybody, and everybody's not your ideal client.
Yes.
Everybody does not need to be around you. Everybody just needs to have access to you.
Yeah.
But I think when you now start off, that anxiety of, oh gosh, I can't tell somebody no.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Now I have no problem saying no.
Yeah.
But at the beginning, I know that was something that I struggled with.
Yes.
And I wish I learned that much sooner as well.
Right,
it would have saved me a lot of headache.
Yeah, because as they say, not all money is good money.
Exactly.
It is one thing. And I know some of our listeners listen to this, say, okay, she says, no, I really struggle with that. What's one tip you could share to get women comfortable saying no?
Well, what I do if somebody comes to me or an opportunity comes to me, I really spend time. Well, I don't respond immediately. That's the first thing. I spend time really looking at it and asking myself, you know, what am I getting out of this? How is this going to, how is this making me feel?
Yeah.
You know, I listen to my gut.
Yeah.
A lot now, right? Before, if my gut was telling me something, I would just brush it off. I'd be like, no, you're just anxious, go ahead. But I listen to my gut, but I don't say no immediately. I spend time. I even do research about the person, the business, that kind of thing, and see if it's in alignment with my own goals and my own vision first.
Yeah.
For me to then say yes or no to an opportunity, because I've said no to a lot of opportunities because they were not in alignment with what I wanted and what I, the vision that I had for myself, not just in the business, but for my life.
Yeah.
You know, so spend a little quiet time doing the research and follow your gut, because your gut never it never drives you wrong.
I hear that. So you're coming, we're talking here and you're coming across as very confident. But I know deep down, and it happens to us all, we all have little confidence wobbles, little confidence issues. So when they hit you and you have that little confidence self-doubt, how do you navigate that and get out of that vicious circle that can sometimes happen?
Oh, yeah, you're right. We all experience that. And I experience at least once a week. I would not lie. I spend a lot of time doing affirmations.
Right.
I am a big affirmation girl and I'm a big journaling girl. And, you know, I always stop and question myself, why am I feeling this way? Where is it actually coming from? Because it's coming from somewhere. Yeah. Like, what has triggered this feeling? Is it something that's happened in the past? Something that somebody has said to me? You know, so I'm a very big, you know, a deep thinker like that. But my affirmations,
ooh,
they have moved me forward, moved some mountains for me.
excellent.
Yeah, my affirmations are the key.
What's your favorite affirmation?
My favorite affirmation is that I am the best business coach and mentor, and every day I put my best foot forward to support my clients.
Fabulous. And I believe it too. So Donna, you had your goals, you set out your store, you knew what you were going for. But what do you think holds some women back from going for their own goals?
Say that again, sorry.
So what do you think holds women back from going for their goals?
I think a lot of times it's based on fear, based on what they may have been taught. Because I find a lot of times we carry a lot of our childhood trauma into our adulthood and how we approach business. So we are afraid to ask for help. We feel that we have to be superwoman. We have to be and do everything. We can't ask for help. We can't get a team, you know, and a lot of that is based on fear. A lot of that is based on our own self-doubt. And as I said with my coach, a lot of it is based on the negative self-talk that we have that is so natural to us, right? Unfortunately, but it's the reality. And I think that's why a lot of people are afraid of setting out really big goals and getting to work to get it done. You know, it's really a lot of fear. We're battling a lot of fear.
So you in the bio, you talked about helping clients set SMART goals. Now I know what SMART goals are, but if you were to talk to a woman who's considering making some sort of transition or a pivot, what would be the goals? How would you give a SMART goal? Define that as a SMART goal for somebody.
Well, I usually tell my clients, let's start off with a 12-month goal, and then we break them down into 90-day goals.
Right.
I like 90-day goals because they're 3 months, 12 weeks, and they are, you can actually visualize what 3 months is going to be like, right? And the thing I tell my clients is, let's start from the end and move backwards.
Right.
So what my biggest question is, what has to happen at the end of 90 days?
Yes.
If you can clearly explain that to me, then let's start to figure out, okay, what do I need to do to get me to that point? Yeah. And our goals, as you said, are supposed to be SMART. So I really ask them to be as specific as possible. So be specific as to how much money you want to make.
Yes.
Like per week, per day, right? Be specific about how many people you actually want to serve. Even as you come up with your strategy, be specific as to how many videos are you going to do? How many emails are you going to send? How many blogs are you going to write? You know, get as specific as possible so that you can measure your progress at the end of 9 days. You should be able to say, okay, I did this consistently for 3 months and these are the results, because that's the only way you're going to, you know, be able to measure, which is part of the SMART goal, right?
Absolutely.
Being specific and it has to be measurable. Right? But in order for it to be measurable, you have to get really, really specific. So as I said, we start off with our 12 months and then we break them down into 90 days. And then we take those 90 days and break them into smaller actionable steps. Because the other thing that I've realized is a lot of people, I like to tell my clients, you're like to throw everything into a Monday. And by Wednesday, you're totally knackered. You try to do everything at the beginning of the week, right? So I teach them how to space out the activities so that they can keep with a steady momentum. It's all about your momentum.
Because
you don't want to get burnt out. So you just keep in that momentum. And whether that's doing two things for the day to get you closer to the goal, then that's fine.
That's what it is.
That's fine. Once you are in action. And you're consistently in action. That is the most important thing. So, I work through that process with a lot of them. And it's hard for many. It's so hard. It's so hard for many of them to actually get into action. I usually find it takes them at least a month or six weeks to get the hang of it, because they have to release a lot of the old habits that they were doing before.
It's true. So Adana, I'm going to ask you a question.
Tell me.
What advice would you give to your teenage self?
Oh my gosh. What advice would I give to my teenage self? I would tell my teenage self, I would tell my teenage self to this earlier. I think that I procrastinated a lot. before I actually started my business. And it's not that I didn't have the support, because my parents have businesses, my aunts, my uncles. But for some reason, again, it's fears, doubts, right? I would say to myself, go for it earlier.
Okay.
Right? Okay. I mean, because right now we have three businesses. I run three businesses, you know, and I really wish that I went into at least two of them earlier.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And if you could choose your own mentor, who would it be and why?
Wow, that's a good one.
I always ask the good questions.
Wow, a mentor. I would actually like to be mentored by Lisa Nichols.
Okay.
Yeah, I love Lisa. I think her method is in perfect alignment to me. Mm-hmm. And my energy, and, you know, so I take every opportunity to listen to her,
right.
to do everything that she does. I think that she speaks directly to me as a Black woman as well. Right. I think she understands what that struggle is like.
Yeah.
So she speaks directly to that intention. Mm-hmm. I think Lisa is the bee's knees, man.
It's the first time we've had Lisa Nichols, I like that. I can see why.
Yeah.
So Adana, what are the three things you've learned about yourself during your career?
Well, what I've learned is that I've learned that I need to be gentler with myself.
Okay.
And I think this comes out of our schooling in the Caribbean. There's a lot of pressure with school, right? It's very competitive.
Yeah.
So I had to learn to be a lot gentler with myself and not beat myself up if things don't go according to plan.
Yeah.
I also learned that I don't have control over everything.
Yes.
And it's okay not to have control, because that was a huge lesson for me. Let it go. And the third thing that I learned, which was huge, was I can't do this on my own.
Yeah.
I need a team.
Yeah.
I need a support system. If I want to live the life that I want, I definitely need a team. So I have a huge team now.
Right.
But that was a lesson that I had to learn, because I was trying to do everything, and every month I will be burnt out, every month I will crash.
It
didn't make sense to do that if I wanted a sustainable business, or even to just have the life that I want.
True.
So I needed to let go of some of my, you know, need to be in control. And build a team who could support me, and let them just focus on their zone of genius.
Yeah.
So that I could focus on my zone of genius.
Fabulous. Mm-hmm. And I love that, because the one thing I always tell my, you know, I tell clients or tell women, control the controllables. That's all you can control. You know, just accept there are things that you will not be able to control, because you're going to spend an awful lot of energy trying. And when it doesn't come off, you're going to get disappointed. And it just has that vicious circle.
Yes.
And the other thing I liked you said about having your team, because it goes back to this superwoman syndrome and the challenge that women have with those three little letters, ASK, you know, asking for help.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a sign of weakness.
It is definitely not.
You know, the fact that you know you need help and you're strong enough to ask for that help, that's how you get better.
Exactly. And I'm so grateful that I learned that lesson.
Yeah.
Because I can rest now. I can sleep. I can I can go on vacation. I mean, I'm going on vacation the end of this week. Right. I can take time off. You know, I just believe now in having a team.
Yeah.
So that, and having a team helps the business grow a lot faster.
Right.
As well, you know, help me reach my goals faster.
Yeah.
You know, because they have their zone of opinions. They do what they have to do. I'm like, whoa, okay, that happened quickly.
Yeah.
Something that would have taken me a month to complete. Yeah. In a week.
Yeah.
So I'm like, seriously, okay, that's great. Yeah, let's move on.
It's very, very true. Very, very true. Yeah. So we're coming down to our last couple of questions. No. Where would we typically find you on a Saturday morning at 10 a.m.?
In my bed reading a book. As I said, Fridays and Saturdays are usually my choice days.
Yeah.
Right? I choose these.
Yeah.
Friday is not a full working day. Friday is where I may do some administrative stuff.
Hmm.
And I tend to focus on my other businesses because my mom and I run a flower shop.
Right. Okay.
And then our other business that we started just September is a car wash.
Okay.
So our busy days are like Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So my brother and my brother usually takes over that weekend rush. But Saturday morning at 10, I am reading a book because I'm always reading a book.
Yeah.
with a cup of tea and just relaxing. Saturday is my full relaxation day because I start my week on a Sunday.
Yes. Yeah. Why is Sunday?
Because I like to be prepared for the week, because during the week I have clients on calls and that kind of thing. So Sunday, I spend time connecting with my VAs, giving them all our emails, our blogs, our whatever needs to be done, so that Monday to Thursday, I can focus on the actual coaching. And the back end of the business is happening. So I could be coaching and you're still getting your emails and your blogs and your videos and, you know, all those other things. I don't have time during the week to do that.
Lovely. And my last question, Adana, what does success feel like to you?
Success feels like peace.
Okay.
Peace of mind, right? It looks like me being able to build a team who can sustain my business and help as many clients as possible. My goal has always been to help at least 5,000 clients a month.
Okay. Five thousand, yes.
Okay. In different ways.
Yeah.
Whether it's coaching, digital products, you know, workshops, whatever. But that's been my goal.
Yeah.
And as well as to spend as much time with my family as possible.
Right. Right.
That's what success is like for me. To be able to run a successful business, but still be so present for my family. Nice. Because as I said, I come from a huge family. I have 200 cousins, right?
And first and second? I mean, we're diverted here.
First and second, and maybe some third. Yeah. I have a lot of cousins. Because my parents both come from really huge families.
Yeah.
Right. So my mom has like older brothers and sisters, and then she has younger brothers and sisters.
Right.
And they have like 6 children and 8 children. And I come from a huge family. And and my joy is just spending time with them. We have so much fun together. Yeah. And I always used to tell people growing up, I didn't have like best friends and stuff. I had my cousins. Family.
Yeah.
Right. And it brings me a lot of joy to just be able on a weekend for us to barbecue, for us to go to the beach together, for us to just spend quality time. So success to me is being able to do that regularly and be present while I'm doing that. That's the important thing. Be present.
Yeah.
Because you can get tied up in your phones and stuff.
Yes. Yeah. You can be there in body, but not actually there in mind.
Yeah. So I want to make sure that I'm present.
Right.
While I'm spending time with them.
Excellent. So Adana, thank you so much for that, because that was my last official question. But if people would like to know more about what you do or get in touch with you, how can they do that?
A few ways. My Facebook page, as I said, my Facebook page is called Marketing Dynamics Business Solutions. I also have, as I said, my Facebook group.
Right.
Of 4,000 entrepreneurs is called Dynamic Business Strategists. And I'm in there every day, every day just sharing and engaging with people. So you'll definitely find me in there. I'm also on Instagram as Coach Adana Austin and on LinkedIn. So you mainly find me Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Okay.
And just check my website, which is mkgdynamics.com, where we release a new podcast every week as well as a new blog every week. So, you know, it's just different ways for us to stay connected and continue to support entrepreneurs on their journey.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that, Adana. I'll make sure I put all the links in the show notes.
Not a problem.
And all that remains to say is thank you so much for joining me this week. It's an absolute delight to have the conversation with you.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with the wonderful Adana Austin.